see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchman Chronicles. Oh, Watchman for Jesus. I did again. Watchman for Jesus Bible study. Welcome tonight. What is this? Part five. Is it not part five tonight for the combating the dark forces? It is. Family, that's what it's going to come down to. That's exactly what it's going to come down to. The Joint Chief of Staff and all these generals and military, they really think it's going to go to armed combat. Boy, they got a surprise. Some of them already know it's supernatural. Will there be armed combat? Yeah. Be military forces in Russia and China and the United States? Oh, they've been here since almost 20 years. Oh, yeah, they have. Longer than that, really. But that's not the real war. That'll come, that'll go. God's going to get their attention. They don't know that yet. They're stuck between their PowerPoint presentations and all this, and they don't have a clue what's getting ready to hit them when the Nephilim comes out of there. They have no idea. When that supernatural raises its ugly head, they're going to have a whole new battle that they're not ready for. It's only in a matter of time. For God says he's had enough, and the supernatural is going to raise its ugly head. And mankind will see it worldwide. When is it going to happen? Nobody knows when. That's why we be ready now. Be ready now. There's people being touched that supernaturally that some of them don't want to acknowledge. There's people being brought. People are being brought together. Divine appointments, call them if you will. people that say, I love God, and so forth and so on, are being confronted with divine appointments and are running away from them because they see something unusual called the Holy Spirit touching them, trying to bring people together to share the gospel. It's real. Satan's got the high-ranking legislation, branch, politics, military, all tied up in their medals and their achievement, world protection, force protection, terrorism. All that stuff is orchestrated by the darn Vatican and secret societies working together. For goodness sakes alive. It's all in a web of deceit. And Jesus Christ is going to cut it down. But only be Jesus. Only supernaturally. We're in a supernatural world. Existence. There's no way around it. And we live in a physical world that's temporary. I think there's a phrase. There's a quote that goes along with that. It's kind of like, well, let's see. How's it go? Of what we really are. It's a quote that kind of lays it out very simply. That tells the story. It's not scripture, but we are not human beings going through a temporary spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings going through a temporary human experience. That's what's really going on today. And Satan is keeping everybody all, you know, tied up and confused and afraid and rewarded to keep them quiet. Kill them when they get outspoken. It's a war that's been lost already on the side of evil. Lost the war already. All we're doing right now is counting the casualties. What's the casualties? Those that rejected Jesus Christ by their own choice. That's the casualty. The war is over. We're just counting who the casualties are. The war is over. It's been won. Are you going to be a casualty? If you're already born again, taking Jesus Christ as your Savior, how about those around you? Jesus Christ said, I'm the bread of life. Preachers, in one case, one pastor, used a simple objective lesson to make a powerful point. Instead of what they used, the usual bread for the Lord's Supper, a large basket on the communion table held a very large variety of loaves of bread. The bread was distributed to the congregation, and some of them received part of a tortilla, while others received a pumpernickel, pita, chapati, rye, whatever. Bread from around the world reminded them of their unity, which believers in Christ everywhere who were remembering the Lord's death. Jesus also used bread to teach a powerful truth about himself. After his miraculous feeding of more than 5,000 people, well, wouldn't a truther love to have that kind of miracle done, huh? But the Lord stated his true mission. He stated it by saying, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Now that, just from Jesus' own mouth, says he's not just a prophet. Anyway, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of this world. John 6, verse 51. Now, Jesus Christ did not die for one special group. He gave his life on the cross so that people of every tribe, language, and nation could find life through him. through faith in Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. The Bible defines itself. I don't know what the problem is. Except for those that want to deceive it. But today we hear the words, Take, eat, this is my body, Mark 14:22. And we give slank thanks for the bread of life offered for the sins of people around the world. Hess said, When Christians join in blessed fellowship, commemorating Jesus' sacrifice, they sense a common bond of unity, because for every race he paid the price. He is no respecter of persons. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we'll get started, and talk about how to combat the forces, dark forces. I also want to talk about a controversial scripture. A very controversial word called religion. I keep spouting off every time when I talk about religion, and so we might as well define it. You'll find it in James 1:27. 1:26 and 1:27, actually. Lord, thank you tonight, Father, for us being able to come together tonight for a Bible study. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Guide us in the right path, Father, than your word. Guide us in the direction you want us to go. Father, to give us discernment and wisdom, we can see the truth. Give us the courage to speak it. Father, we pray for our brethren tonight, too. Father, lift up Thomas and his body. And for healing, we lift up Sherry, wife of Brother Louis, and Father Henry, and families that's lost loved ones in the past. Father, for healing of those that you know of, that you're being prayed to, and Lord, that you'll heal them too. Lord, we pray again for the children that are being identified for kidnapping and abduction and for the sacrifice of these holidays that's coming up. That, Lord, you'll thwart these sacrifices and these kidnappings. Father, I pray for returning servicemen. That, Father, the post-traumatic stress has been induced. We call upon you, Father, to give them help supernaturally. To render null and void the effects of the microchips and the drugs in their bodies. And, Father, to turn their minds and hearts away from suicide. And lead divine appointments, Lord, that they'll be able to find someone to be able to witness and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for guidance this next months coming up, that, Father, should things change, that you'll guide us in the right path, that we'll be able to spread the gospel and have more Bible studies. And this we pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, I started broadcasting about 4 or 5 years ago. I've lost track. 4 years ago, I guess. And before that, I was guest on some shows. And before that, I just call in to someone or send them email or something like that. And before that, I don't know. You know, I was a whistleblower. 2004. A little frustrated what I saw going on and so forth and so on. I'm not going into that right now. Regular listeners heard me talk about it before. But I never really was a Bible studier. You know, I believed in God and all that, but I've had my own problems, my own thoughts, and, you know, those that know me know how stubborn I can get, and worldly I was, and so forth. And just, God works on us in different ways. And I just feel in my life that He's directed me, and everybody's got their own story, into the path of broadcasting. Well, I found he's tricky too sometimes. So I thought, oh, okay, you know, I can talk about the New World Order and the Illuminati and all this and all that. But that's not exactly what happened. Yeah. See, what happened was I started bringing in the Spirit in about Jesus, and I started praying, and I started off with the Lord's Prayer, and okay, because I never did all that praying. You all might think I did know. Have I been to school of theology? No, I haven't. Thank goodness I never went. They'd kick me out anyway. I speak out about some of the garbage they're teaching people nowadays, especially Harvard, a bunch of junk. I can say that and not blink an eye because I got the evidence. There are schools of humanism, Marxism. I got evidence of that. Every college and university, every one, as evidence confirms, every college in the United States, literally, is a school of humanism and Marxism, led by Freemasons at the highest level. I got quotes confirming this. This is not speculation. This is a fact unknown to the American public. How they've guided the curriculum specifically to fall under humanism. Humanism is the religion of the Antichrist and Satan. That's a fact, too. Well, so I started broadcasting. Before I knew it, I was saying prayers, and I had to learn the Bible. So long story short here, I realized that God put me through a crash course the past 4 years. And put me in a place, Mount Airy here, Andy Griffinville, where you can't get in trouble. You have to travel hard to get in trouble around here. It's quiet. One Main Street, he knew where to put me. Keep me out of scotch. No pun intended, of course. So he gave me a crash course, to say the very least. Here I am. I'm driven every day to do this. Now, every one of you all out there has got a story. Every one of you. I'm nothing special. All of you, I got a story. Those stories that you have are there for you to learn, as I have, and then to teach. Now, that's tricky. Sometimes scary. But that's what it is. Everybody talks about religion. In James 1:27, it mentions the word religion. Let's go 1:26, 1:27. Now, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I don't know if it's a lesson for you all or for me. In 1:27, 1:26, it talks about useless religion. We're not talking about Catholic. We're not talking about Protestant. We're not talking about Hare Krishna or Hindu or Timbuktu, Kalamazoo. Elmer Fudd's invented something. I don't care what. Mormon, don't make a lick of difference. We're talking about a religion, a useless religion, and pure undefiled religion are contrasted here in 126 and 127. But religion here, the Catholic Church likes to use, well, we are a religion, we're a chanting. Well, no. Hold on there. Because when you speak about religion in this terminology, in this contrasting, it means the external, the outside patterns of behavior that's connected with your religious beliefs. In Islam, the radical Islam external patterns is cutting people's heads off. But not Islam as it was originally created was peaceful. Until the Vatican said, okay, now let's create the dialectic. Protestantism, same thing. Outside patterns in Baptist churches and other places, KKK. That's not quite right, burning crosses and lynching people. That I don't think that works. Religion is the external patterns of behavior connected with religious belief. It refers to the outward forms rather than the inward spirit. It's kind of the outward expression of belief and worship and your service rather than the doctrines and so forth that you believe inside. So anybody who thinks they're religious but can't control their tongue, this one's religious is useless. When you take a blood oath to lie, I'd say that religion's pretty bad. If I take a go to religion, don't matter which religion is, and I can come out and lynch somebody or cuss somebody out, take God's Lord's name in vain, something's wrong with that religion. They might even observe all kinds of religious ceremonies. Makes people feel very pious. But they're deceiving themselves. And God's not satisfied with rituals. He's actually interested in a life of practical godliness. A tongue that's unbridled is only one example of a useless religion. We have a religion where you do all the rituals and prayers and all that, but you homosexual or a pedophile or an adulterer. Now, if you have that going on, which you do, on today's level, these useless religions now are being exposed. And you know why? Because they're going to show how useless religion is today so people will accept the Christ consciousness, the New Age movement. So now they show you the evil of religion. They want you to know it. Any behavior inconsistent with a Christian faith is worthless. So the story is told of a grocer who apparently was a pious fraud. He lived in an apartment above the store. And every morning he called down to his assistant, John. And John said, yes, sir. Have you watered down the milk? Yes, sir. Have you colored the butter? Yes, sir. Have you put chicory in the coffee? Yes, sir. Very well. Come up for the morning devotions. Sound familiar? James says that such religion is useless. So what God's looking for is the practical types of godliness, which takes about a compassion interest in others. You keep your own life clean. Example of pure and undefiled religion. James actually praises the man who visits needy orphans or widows or who keeps keeps himself unspotted from the world. I can't go to a bar anymore and witness about Jesus Christ and the divine appointment sucking down a beer. You say, well, nothing wrong with drinking a beer. Well, actually there is. Because I know that someone will say, really, you believe in God? Yeah. Well, how come you're drinking a beer? So you end up having to explain away, well, one beer doesn't work that way. It doesn't matter. It's the appearance. Or I'm trying to witness to somebody and some young ladies come in and they have a low neckline dress or something like that. And I witness about God and I go, whoa, I elbow him and say, hey, look over yonder. Whoa. Now, he may be thinking, wow, yeah, but that's not what he's thinking entirely. He's thinking, well, wait a minute, didn't this guy just witness to me about Jesus Christ? And I heard somewhere that you're not supposed to have lust. He may say, yeah, they're good looking. But in the meantime, his subconscious is thinking, something's not right here with this. So in other words, the practical outworking of the new birth is found in acts of grace and a walk of separation. Guy King describes the virtues as a practical love and a practical holiness. We've got to put our own faith on trial. Do I read the Bible with a humble desire to have God rebuke me, teach me, change me? Am I anxious to have my tongue bridled? Do I justify my temper, or do I want victory over it? Oh, God has beat me about the head today. He makes me say these things that convicts me, but I have to say them anyway. Ask him about my temper. When I lost my temper, I liked it. It felt good. It wasn't just a losing a temper. It was like something I looked forward to. And it was kind of crazy in those days. I liked the shot of adrenaline. I liked the power it gave me. It's kind of like a drug, adrenaline rush. When you lose your temper, I felt good. How do you react when someone starts to tell an off-color joke? When someone uses the word, you know, GD, or use that N-word that refers to a cultural group, those words, do they, ew, man, hate that word? Or do you say, yeah, and then still go to church? Or worship God? Going to church now is another question. But how do you react when you hear these words? You go in with a group because everybody else is saying, yeah, yeah, yeah? Or do you just kind of say, well, you know, you guys, girls, whatever, I got to get going, because you feel uncomfortable? That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Does your faith manifest itself in deeds of kindness to those who cannot repay you? But, you know, there's also a part there where someone that takes that far and you become an enabler. There's a thin line there between enabling someone and giving to them. At what point do you draw the line? That's religion. God didn't bring religion. Man did. Constantine created Christianity. Christianity is not about being Christian. Christianity is a religion. People's got it all backwards. You can be a Christian. When you call it Christianity, you've identified it with doctrines that's man-made. No? Well, then how come in one religion you can inherit a planet if you join it? Another religion, well, you keep coming back over and over until you finally get it right. It's called reincarnation. Another religion, you got to be baptized. That's not true. To be saved? No. Another religion, in the same religion, in another church. You have to be able to speak tongues. You're not baptized. You're not saved unless you speak tongues. What does it mean, tongues? Babbling. People actually believe this. And they have it in their church manifest, their church doctrine. They make stuff up as they go along. I sort of talked about that today in my broadcast 4-6. How we remake God. God created us in his own image, and mankind returned the favor. The Bible says one thing. You say, well, you know, I don't believe that. You say, what? What'd you say? I know the Bible says that, but I just don't believe God's like that. What does it say? I know, but I just don't. You don't. I suggest you go tell God that, man. That's out of my hands. I got my own problems. Besides trying to outthink God and tell him what his word's going to be. Mm-mm. Nope. I got to go by what he says, not what I want. Religion. Religion's doctrines is man-made. That's what it boils down to being. Jesus Christ is not about religion or even Christianity. He's about redemption and salvation of the world. And Satan's trying to keep you from it. All kinds of ways I've talked about in this show, this program, this Bible study, to keep us busy. Literally, to keep us busy, actually, which leads me, okay, I see what's going on here. Which leads us to see the world system. Because he's amazing how God works, you know, when you put stuff in front of your face. See, Satan's problem, even though Satan had the human race in his kingdom, he still had a problem. His problem was how to keep people in his kingdom. Because the first man was Adam. Nobody before him. No aliens. No other human race that your Arnold Murray, Herbert Armstrong cult beliefs. They're baloney. Christian identity and all that. No words that say anywhere in the Bible that there's man created before Adam and Eve. They try to modify the scriptures to make it seem that way, but it doesn't want to, that's not what it says. They kind of leave out the part where Adam is the first man created. They say Genesis 1 was when mankind was created. Then came Adam. No. Adam was created in the image of God like we were. Was given the rulership of the earth. But Adam rebelled against God. You know the story there. When he did it, he actually took sides with Satan. And then became under the rule of Satan because he sinned. And because of generational curses in this one, Adam brought the whole human race into a kingdom of darkness. And this under the power of Satan. So the rulership of the earth passed from Adam to Satan's hands. That's why the Bible calls Satan the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. But this is a concept of original sin. And this is the genius of God that allowed it. Because if it did not have original sin, that means Jesus Christ would have to die for every man, woman, and child ever since they were born. He'd get tired of that. So by one man's sin, the whole human race was condemned. One man's grace, one man's salvation, one man's redemption, the whole human race could be saved, but only individually. It's genius. And that's why there's no aliens out there, too. Billy Graham and all the others that believe in aliens out there, the Pope, the Billy Graham and other preachers. I talked to a preacher 3 weeks ago. It looked at me funny. I said, no, there's no aliens out there. I do poke a little bit on people just to see what they're thinking about. And I said, it's all these people running around thinking there's aliens. There's not a one out there. And I waited. 1-1000-2-1. Didn't take about 3 seconds. He said, what are you talking about, Tom? I said, there's no aliens out there. Well, of course they are. I said, oh, here we go. We'll see where it's coming from. They use the NIV Bible, too. Oh, goodness gracious alive, help me. I said, well, Pastor, what about the original sin? They went around in circles. You see, because that would mean that aliens had to have Adam and Eve, too. Are we the only cursed species in the universe? That's not fair. No. There's no aliens out there, but they are demons and they're fallen angels. That's messing around with our governments as the governments are allowing it to. I'm not going there right now. But Satan keeps us busy in education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics, and finance. So Satan figured, how can I keep this human race confused, under my control? Well, he turned to, and with his fallen angels, set it up. He came with a plan. He organized the human race into a world system. And the system, literally, and you have demons assigned that have names, specifics, like little foot soldiers, in pride, ambition, selfishness, greed, sinful pleasure. It's all based on frequency vibration. Frequency vibration of these demons fit the emotion of pride. The part of, not emotion, but the character of pride is a certain frequency. Vibration. And the entity that fits that pride will match that frequency vibration and then exacerbate it, make it worse. And cause it to increase. That's how it works. You can see that there's nothing of God in these things. What is the world? It's human society with God left out. This is what's really going on. Satan set up this world system. It includes commerce and politics, religion, education, entertainment, world kingdoms, world organizations, and many other things. And throughout this world system, what Satan did, that's why it's called the Rain Man in Hollywood, he offers people power, riches, possession, worldly honors. That's where you get Carnegie, Nobel Peace Prize, Cecil Rhodes, or Rhodes Scholarship. I'm a summa cum laude, all that's to keep you all busy. Worldly honors, military, you get medals and all this. I was in the middle. I was in the Marine Corps 12 years, so I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Awarding for intellectual achievement. Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I'm just an average student. Social prestige. Where are you going, Tom? Well, I'm going to the clubhouse to play a little game of golf. I don't play golf. I wouldn't do it for 10,000 years. That's why I was told I'd never make it to major. I said, why? Because you don't play golf. I said, what? I hated golf. I never got into golf. A little stupid little ball with a big old piece of metal bar or something. I don't know what. And go chase it. Heck, I couldn't even see the darn thing, much less chase it down. But social prestige. Oh, I know. Many deals formed on the golf course. Well. But all kinds of sinful pleasures out there that keep us busy and tied up. Certainly the Super Bowl's not one of them. I'm being facetious. Satan could give people just about anything they could want and thus make them satisfied to remain under the rule and leave God out of their lives. The genie. My three wishes. Rub a lamp. Wiggle my nose like bewitched. The whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. But God is the sovereign ruler of the universe. Satan rules the world system. And only because God permits him to do so. and there's no human being apart from that. When you become born again, you set yourself aside. So the purpose of the world system is to draw men's hearts away from God. And that's how it works. I mean, there's more to it than I could describe, but know that Lord Jesus overcame the world, and through him, you can too. But you're down here in enemy territory. I'm sorry, this is enemy territory. The day you're born, you landed in a hot LZ, a hot landing zone. You know what that is? When you're in a helicopter and it lands and you're getting ready to jump out and go to fight, and your chopper is getting shot at, you're in a hot LZ. Well, when you were born, you landed in the hot LZ. That's why you cry. Maybe you don't know why you cry, but that's why you cry. Or you're hungry. So, the supernatural is the rule, not the exception. And they have masked the supernatural as being alien, ascended masters, and so forth. That's not what they are at all. So how do you deal with them? We were talking about that last night, about how to deal with the dark forces. And you say, well, I don't believe in all that. You don't believe in all that? No. And then they have this thing called annihilation. Some people believe that when you die, you simply are annihilated. There's no punishment. You just go out of existence. That's all you do. It's a false teaching that's very popular with people in the Jehovah's Witnesses, some other scattered religions of whatever. They don't believe in literal, eternal lake of fire for the punishment of the wicked. Annihilations is a belief that the wicked will be totally destroyed at some point in the future and that no eternal place of torment exists. Well, I don't know what Bible they're using, what book they've come up with, but y'all, if you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, and you go to 25:41, I beg to differ. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know what his angels are? I'll tell you their names. New Age names. Sananda Emmanuel. He's going to the fire. El Moria. Fire. Gabriel. Fallen angel. Fire. Michael. Fire. Kathume. Hot. El Moria. I think I mentioned him. There's 66 of them. It's going to join their fellow angels, fallen angels, in hell. And they're going to burn there, too, for eternity. And ain't no stopping it. They think by manipulating the weather, manipulating God's creation against him, they'll be able to win. That's their only hope they have. Well, I got news for them. It ain't going to work. This is the big picture going on. Go to Luke 16:24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Man, that's not good. Now, the preachers aren't telling people about this. They need to know. And there's no such thing as annihilation. It's not there. These are false religions. That's the point. It's in, you know, it's, I didn't have to go to Harvard to figure that out. I just had to read it. It's not hard to do. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, whatever. You see, family, it's simple. But this is the rule. This is not an exception. This is a life study. It's real. So, we talked about last night, in the 6 steps to breaking a generational curse, we talked about the full surrender. I can't just give a partial surrender to Jesus Christ. That's sitting on a fence. Hey, you guys out there, how's it feel when you straddle a fence that's a little bit too high for you? Well, you're going to end up having to get on one side or the other. Straddling the fence don't feel too hot. A full surrender to Jesus is what it boils down to. Not missing words, religions, holidays, family. I hate saying it. I really do because it's just, but every single holiday, you name it, from January to December, there's no exception. Every holiday is a pagan holiday. Every doggone one. Every one of them are. Even birthdays. It's celebration of self. You know, I never really thought about it. But, you know, birthdays along the way before I really got into the Bible detail. I just, you know. And people say, Tom, what are you going to do for your birthday? I said, I don't know. I don't care. I just do whatever. It's just another day. I always thought that for myself. And other people, I'd noticed that, you know, they'd set up all these elaborate, you know, parties and balloons and all this and all that and cards and presents. And you'd go to eat out somewhere and you'd hear people come clap, 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 happy birthday. I'm like, man, don't ever do that to me. Don't ever, ever, never, never do that. I'm going to slunk underneath the table and crawl out of there. I'm going to low crawl with my hands and knees and pretend I'm in a combat situation. To get out of there when they start that stuff. I don't like that attention at all. Now I know why. You know, I celebrate Jesus Christ, not my birthday. What's I got to do with it? You know? Someone said to me, that it's you know, it has a ring truth to it. Celebrate your birthday. You celebrate your mother's birthday, you know, because she gave birth to you. You celebrate her. But even before that is Jesus Christ. Other than him, without him, we wouldn't, none of us be here. And without him, we'd never see heaven without what he did. You see. So birthdays, too. We've got to the point that our religion exalts man. Where's Jesus in all this? Not acupuncture or Reiki healing and any of that stuff. All that's just to alleviate the pain. Doesn't heal whatsoever. Sometimes the Reiki, only reason it heals is because that demon is acknowledging the Reiki to give the Reiki practitioner power. Because a Reiki, and I ain't talking about leaves neither, because Reiki is New Age. New Age is humanism. And the New Age movement is secular humanism. They're tricky. Very tricky. I don't need God. I'm a Reiki healer. Really? Well, how good do you do in the fall? Here's your rake, now go rake some. About all the rake you're going to get that really works is get those leaves and put them in a pile. Because otherwise, all it does is alleviate pain. It does not heal. If it does heal, it's because the demonic entity caused the affliction. And responded to that healer to give her power. It's the same thing for a medicine man, voodoo witch doctor, and a priest that exercises demons out of somebody's body. And about the priest issue, Alberto Rivera, former Jesuit priest, confirms this, and he talked about all this before they murdered him. I don't talk about this lightly. I just don't make stuff up. A full surrender to Jesus is what it takes. That's the very first rule in spiritual warfare. Before you can even begin to do battle with demonic spirits, you have to be walking and operating full surrender with the Lord, or it's not going to work. And you're going to get your butt kicked. But bad. Because it happened in the Bible. Forgot the name of the brothers that tried to exorcise a demon out and they weren't locked in there with the spirit. And that supernatural being done kicked their butts and tore them up and cut them up in all kinds of pieces. They were out running out screaming. What happened? They messed where they should have been messing. Let's take a step further. You ever heard the part about people having spontaneous combustion? They're not properly prepared in their witchcraft. They get and dwell with a demonic entity that's full of energy. That energy literally consumes their flesh because their ability in iron oxide DNA is not able to handle the increase of electromagnetic energy of full possession. So their bodies explode in flame from the inside out. That's why they have spontaneous combustion, messing with it should have been a messing. And it burns them from the inside out because the supernatural being, they're messing with witchcraft, possession, incantations, all such nonsense. There's none to play with. This is serious stuff. It's not about philosophy. Philosophy is chewing gum for the mind. Submitting to God. Confess your sins, number two, is confess your sins of the sinning parent to God the Father. That's hard to do. When someone respects their father, respects their grandfather, or respects their patriarch of the family, great-great-grandfather, whatever, and he's a Freemason, or he's into witchcraft, or he did whatever, something that's cursed the family. Oh, I'm sorry, but that's what happens. Four generations, it's cursed. It says so in the Bible. Four generational curse. Look it up. It's there. And you got to confess the sins of that sinning parent? That's not easy to do. Easy said, not easy done for some people. That goes the same thing with the country. Now you see why today what I was talking about is about confessing the sins of that country. And there's actually one country that did that about last year. Guatemala or something? God's wanting you to acknowledge and confess out those sins directly to him and not in gobbledygook, speaking in tongues. He wants you to know what you're saying, and you're saying it up close, not gobbledygook. That's what that is, because you don't have speaking in tongues today like you did in the days of the Holy Spirit. And they don't have translators today. And they got Kundalini, and I'm not talking about an Italian restaurant either. Kundalini is full possession of members of that church rolling around on the floor, holy laughter, holy drunkenness. Family, that's all nonsense. That's satanic. One set up, down the other. Hagen and Copeland and a whole lot of them there, that's what they're involved in. I mean, that's wrong, dead wrong. Nothing about that's of God. Leviticus 26:40-42. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac, my covenant with Abraham, I will remember. We got to confess those things, man. Let them know we know we did wrong. tracing your family line back. I've heard this more than once, though, in real life, where it's actually been done. And it does work. But you got to come face to face with what your father did, your grandfather, your mother, your great-grandpa, your great-great-great-great-grandfather, down to about four generations. If you can trace it, to find out. And if you can't, ask God to reveal it to you. But you got to be willing to fully forgive your sitting parent and not hold a grudge about it. That goes along with the center, with the prayer, Lord prayer. Number four, to break any ungodly soul ties with a sinning parent. Now, as a result of the natural parent-child relationship that immediately develops when a child is born into the family, the child is in the mother's matrix when she comes out of the womb, or he, or whatever, comes out of the womb from 1 year old, or zero, we'll say zero to one, but 0 to 5 years old, that would be zero, I guess you want to call it that. Out of the womb, begins 0 to 5 years old, they lie within the mother's matrix, even though they're outside the womb. You're still influenced, and your memory then comes about around 5 or 6 years old. You don't remember too much at 1 and 2 years old. You don't remember really cutting your teeth, except maybe when you're 7 or 8. Now, do you? But you, how about that 3-year-old, 4-year-old? Your parents said, you know, when you're a 3-year-old, you know what my mother says today? When she wants to feel like digging me a little bit when they're around people, which actually is a true story. She'll say, I said, my dad and mom separated, divorced when I was 2 years old. So she'd always say when I was born, she still does today. This past year she said it. Says, Lord, when you were born, and I looked at your dad, and I almost started crying. I said, why? And I asked her why, just as ceremoniously, because I know what she's going to say. I said, why is that? Mom, she said, because, and she said it just as innocent as she can, but this is the word she used. She said, Tom, we just worried about you. I said, why? Because you was ugly, one ugly baby. I said, Mom, how ugly? She said, you look like a drowned rat in buttermilk. I said, thank you, Mom, I appreciate that. Oh, she does to this day, she says that and laughs. I don't remember that because I never combed my hair when I was that young. But you're in your mother's matrix up to about 4 or 5 years old or so. And that's when your memory of you in a life begins. About 5 years old. So there's a strong spiritual bond that forms between a child and the parents, even if one or both parents end up abusing the child over a period of many years. That's why it's such a shock to a child's senses when they first start to receive any kind of extreme abuse from a sinning parent that's abusive. Interesting. You see, the first natural reaction is that must be something wrong with them, or that they must have done something wrong themselves, that weren't receiving the kind of abuse or getting beat. No matter what the reason might be, what did I do? Was that so bad? It isn't until the child really gets older, wiser, smarter, that they start to see the abusive sinning parent for what they really are. Someone who's acting out on their very sick or evil impulses with no effort to try and control it, or Maybe themselves, they don't really know themselves. Maybe they were abused as children that you weren't told about. So when a sinning parent gets this far out of control and is doing horrible things to their children, then what the child must do when they get old enough or understand all this mess is to break any ungodly, unhealthy soul ties that might have formed from earlier time in their life with the family of the sinning parent. Kind of like the Stockholm Syndrome, where the kidnapped person identifies a relationship with the kidnapper because they're there with them for so long time. Sometimes the kidnappers will actually use this technique. They know it very well. They'll start off giving little rewards to acquire support from the hostage. I used to teach classes on this, but it's a trick that they use because it's a phenomenon that occurs. But in this case, the sinning parent will always be your natural parent by blood. But that doesn't mean you have to stay spiritually attached to the evil, the sinning, or dysfunctional part of this parent, which it happens. So a soul tie, S-O-U-L, is any type of spiritual bonding that occurs between two people who've entered into the kind of a personal relationship. So a soul tie can occur between two spouses, two friends, two siblings, parent, child. A soul tie can be a healthy one that occurs between two people who marry, for example. That's a soul tie. And are actually capable of loving their children and friends in a good and godly manner. However, a soul tie can also be a bad one, where a woman is married to an abusive husband. And the soul tie is there. And when I taught law enforcement and security, and I would teach on domestic calls, and I'd tell them, I'd say, well, you know, you might be there and see the wife or the girlfriend all beat up and say, well, I'll protect you. You know, you're going to arrest the guy, and you slam his sleeky butt down on the ground and stick his nose in the concrete. But you better watch your back, because the wife's going to get you with a knife. And this has happened before, when they were protecting the wife from getting beat by the husband, and they took him down. But one of the officers got stabbed because of her soul tie. If the soul tie is a bad one, it's where the personal relationship becomes dysfunctional, with one of the persons becoming the dominant and abusive one in the relationship. The other person becomes the submissive one who's being abused and hurt by the dominant person. Now, what happens in the spiritual realm in this kind of situation is that when one person is being severely abused and dominated by another individual, there's an ungodly, unhealthy soul tie that develops. And if that kind of relationship develops during this abusive relationship, it has to be completely broken in order to be completely set free from this person and any demons, literally, who may be attacking and you as a result, because this soul tie would be used by Satan to keep you in bondage in your spiritual walk. And the other parent, the other spouse, the other whatever person is, would not know that they're being used for this reason. They just find their own insides doing it. They just find them doing it, you know, whatever is abusive. But they're being used by supernatural means. So once you know the mechanics of this, you'll know how to attack it. Because demons are real. Demons move in and feed off of unhealthy soul ties it develops. Energy, negative energy. So you got to make sure these destructive soul ties are completely broken. When you go into any kind of battle prayer or prayer against this kind of satanic influence. And family, what's the first thing you're thinking right now? I bet you're thinking of a lower income family. Kind of like, you know, in a trailer park or something. No, 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 no. I'm talking about CEOs, congressmen, presidents. Who cares? It don't matter. There's no financial arrangement here. It goes on every level. We're talking deacons of churches, preachers, oh, priests. Men who speak about God. I love God. Yes, I give money to this and I do that. And goes home and beats the dickens out of his wife or his children. Says this to say the special parent-child bond should be forming out of the early years of mother's matrix. You'll be completely ruined and completely severed if that parent starts to enter in any kind of abusive behavior. So what this means is that if the parent that's doing all this sinning and abuse has gone too far with abuse of a child over a certain number of years, then this child has to break any unhealthy, ungodly soul ties that may have formed out of this earlier years when they get old enough to be able to understand this and be able to do it on their own. The Bible also tells us to choose our friends carefully. Because we tend to choose friends like our family members. And our spouses like our members. Sometimes we keep repeating it as an adult. The daughter to fix the husband, the father. Marries an abusive husband to fix him. It's not going to work. You got to break that soul tie. And just because you're sinning an abusive parent as your natural father or mother by blood doesn't mean you have to stay spiritually attached to them. Especially if they refuse to pull out their evil and wicked ways towards you. Any of your loved ones in the family even. Sometimes they can still have the murderous spirits that's still operating in their father and mother. If you're willing to break any ungodly or unhealthy soul ties that may have developed and formed over the years between you and your sinning parent, then you'll be ready to go the next step, which is to fully break the curse line that the demons have been feeding off of. That you know about, but they don't. Number five is to break the curse line of the demons. See, now, once you've properly completed the steps we've talked about, that is, full surrender to God, to Jesus Christ, the full surrender. Confess the sins of the sinning parent to God the Father. Be willing to fully forgive your sinning parent. To break these ungodly soul ties with a sinning parent. And then, once you've done that, to break the curse line. Now, you first ask God to do this for you since you've completed all these other steps. And you take his authority and his power and verbally command the curse line to be fully broken in the name of Jesus Christ. This is important. It's kind of the same thing as getting out of the Masons and having to take that extra step of renouncing that blood oath. Because it goes right along with it too, by the way. Exactly. The Bible tells us in Matthew 16:19 that whatever we bind or loose on this earth will bound or loose us in heaven. So God's given us power, anointing, and authority to trample all over the power of our enemies, but in the name of Jesus. And most of our enemies are definitely demonic spirits working through people. When I say the cursed line, we're talking about the four generational curses. And by verbally commanding all the demons to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. And this goes the same for bringing them out of your house. Now, people who don't know about this going to think you've done crazy. But it works. I'm going to tell you now about cleaning your house, literally, of demons. It works. Now, I can tell you firsthand. Let's put it like this. The scenario is being around a relative that's into Wicca. That's not good. And then finding out that your house you're in has been blessed. Blessed? What do you mean blessed? Had somebody come in and bless it. Really? And what does that mean, blessed? Oh, yeah, she came in and said these incantations. I said, oh, wonderful. Oh, great. That gives me nice warm fuzzies. And I find out the family members in the Wicca. That's not good. So I began to pray the demons out of this house. I said, well, that's what I read. That's what I've studied. That's what's supposed to work. I either got faith in it or I don't. I began. And I went just as if you're sweeping a house full of dust out, which I could do that too, by the way. You actually verbally chase demons out of your house. Now, somebody's in here for a cup of coffee, they're probably going to be the first to leave because they'll think you're crazy. But the reality is, demons are attracted. They're not ghosts. Demons. To where death was, or where witchcraft has been, or anything of that nature. Where there's symbols, pictures, objects, stars. It's like frequency vibrations that attracts demonic entities. And you chase them out. And then, by anointing with oil certain areas, over prayed over, it works. I saw it work. I remember specifically when this family member I'm talking about had to leave because I was doing praying every morning in my broadcast. And 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7, 8 in the morning against Wicca. And I had to do it. You know, that family member moved out like 2 or 3 months later. Couldn't deal with it. And I put some oil. I said, well, it's what I read. It's what I studied. I'm going to do it. So I prayed over this oil, and I put it on doorknobs in different places. I said, all right. Well, one day, the family member grabbed that doorknob with the oil on it a little bit. I didn't put a lot on it. And started rubbing the hand like it's burning the hand. I said, whoa. Did you put oil up, blah, 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 blah? I said, well, I might have. Got mad. Anyway, went to wash it off. And I bet you for 15 minutes was rubbing that hand. I mean, how many times can you rub it to get a little bit of oil off? And was walking back and forth, pacing to and fro for a whole 15, 20 minutes and had to leave. I said, well, it works. I said, wow, that's amazing. It did. I prayed for the family member, but stubborn. Mm-mm-mm. So they had to leave, either face it or leave. I didn't have to say a word. I mean, nothing. I just prayed and put the oil down there, and that's all I did. I never seen such acting around. A family of supernatural is real. Number 6 is to verbally command the demons to leave you in the name of Jesus Christ. And once that power line has been broken, the demons will have nothing left able to hold on to. And you'll now be able to verbally engage with them and command them to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. There's where the Word of God is like a sword. But you can't verbally engage with demons at a high level unless you're fasted and prepared. Or you're asking for an attack. Literally. And right now, these chemtrails has barium in them and other chemicals. And these things have a lot to do with manifestation. The hybrids that are among us have something to do with accelerated regeneration. Accelerated growth is taking place right now. And certainly in the South, in the Bible Belt, and that would only make sense that they would attack the Bible Belt first and then work out. These chemtrails has a lot to do with that. The X's all over the skies, barium oxide, aluminum oxide, which interacts with the HARP, opening up of portals, and their flesh regeneration. There's something going on here in alchemy that's contained within these chemtrails to facilitate their activity and increase it. Now, I hope you got that, because I couldn't say that again in a million years. That's what's going on today. Besides destroying the earth, the growth for growing things with the chemicals that's being laid out, drought in the west, and the chemicals in the east to destroy the soil so things will not grow. That's what the sodium polyacrylate's being done for the fake snow that's being put out. Oh, it's a long story, but another day. But the main part is the barium oxide, which was primarily barium and nitrogen before the days of the flood, which facilitated the growth of the Nephilim before the flood. The atmosphere was different, a heavy in nitrogen. Well, things grew big. You can't go ahead and jump into number 6. You got to go through step by step. And the first step to lead you is what? You there in the back. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Full surrender. You got it. You there in Albuquerque or Palmyra or Gotha, Southwest Brevard City or Port Orange, Indianapolis. Where y'all from? Y'all a bunch of Yankees up there? Anyway, that's what it is. Full surrender is number 1. When you give full surrender, you confess the sins of your sinning parent to God the Father. And you also know to confess your own sins. Be willing to fully forgive your sinning parent. You can't hold grudges. Now, that's easy said, not easy done if you've been sexually molested, abused, beaten, punched out, or whatever. But you got to do it. You got to forgive them. And that frees you. Because otherwise you'd be held in bondage from them as long as you hold that grudge. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. It's said more than one place than once. Then you got to break any ungodly soul ties with the sinning parent. You got to break the curse line. And you got to verbally command the demons to leave you in the name of Jesus Christ, which includes maybe the house. But you got to be prayed up. Not easy. I wouldn't be doing this if I was inviting somebody over for a cup of coffee. They wouldn't understand it. When you actually chase them out of your house. And why are you doing it? So it makes you seem like you're a little crazy talking to something you can't see. I've heard it once said that if we could actually have a pair of glasses that we could see the supernatural around us, that we would go into shock at what was going on. And it's one of the reasons why the angels, your guardian angel that God has placed there, that you can't see that angel. Otherwise, you'd worship that angel. An angel's not for worshiping. Because you've been a place they haven't. The fallen angels desired to go down to be physical. But the angels that are obedient to God are rested in their position of being created by Him for their purposes. But they still have free will. You might try this when you're home alone. Saying the prayer out loud. Demons cannot read your mind or your thoughts. Forgive your father, your mother, whatever, for any sins that they may have personally committed against you. Excuse me. That's the first part of the prayer when you're going before God the Father. Confess out the sins of your father and mother and then fully forgive them. Once that's been done, then you will fully break the curse line that's been formed between you and your father or whatever, mother. Break any ungodly or unhealthy soul ties that might have developed between you and your father or mother or whatever. And these demons may be feeding off and operating on this. And the second part of the prayer, when you've fully broken the curse line, is to turn around and cast a demon out by verbally speaking out loud to them, not silently. And when doing this, you might have it written down. Read it from there and then hold it to your right hand against the demons as you're commanding them to leave you. The Bible says that the right hand of God the Father is His hand of deliverance and power. The Bible says the right hand of God the Father is His hand of deliverance and power. And as His child, you have the legal right to use your right hand to do this. Witchcraft, they use the left and right hand, has a lot of meaning to it. Has power. They don't like you to know that. They have signals with it. Curses with it. Depends on the right and left hand. It's very significant. In my studies, I've heard this more than once. That's why in Saudi Arabia and other places, you don't pat the child on the head because you're putting a demon on them. So you think in America, it's okay. Well, yes, a cute kid. Woo-hoo, they don't like it in the Middle East. No, sir. Not at all. has a lot to do with witchcraft, demonic entities, and so forth. Your right hand is the power sword hand. And you might add anything you want to, like I talk about in the prayer that I give sometimes before our Bible study about binding the spirits and so forth. And you got to listen to it. You got to say it. And you got to believe it. And you might say the prayer more than once over a period of several days. Not just one time. Because this is serious business. And you talk to God about this, just like if you were talking to your father. Now, we're coming into the show right now. And I think tomorrow we can talk about this prayer, the battle plan to what to say, some rituals of sort that of how to do this deliverance. And it's not something you just don't do overnight. It's not just something simple. It is a little difficult. A battle prayer to break a generational curse line. So, family, we're coming into the program right now. And, you know, I don't have a chat up. I'm going to investigate on putting this chat window widget. They call them widgets or something. Whatever. Some kind of widget you got to put up on your website, I believe. And then it's a series of codes or something or another, and you copy paste it, and I don't know. So they got all kinds of widgets for these chat lines. But what I've experienced in having guests almost every time now, except for twice, had David Daniels on, that was a good one. Had Sam Gipp one time, that was a good one. But that's Justin Peters. I had three. Okay, Justin Peters had on, that was a good one. But that's about it. I've had other guests, didn't go so well. They come up with all kinds of stuff, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute now. I said, let's talk about that, or, you know, because I had to clarify some things that weren't quite right that they were talking about that I wasn't expecting. And I'm not going to be quiet about it, none. Because me being quiet is like I'm agreeing with it, and I'm not going to do that. Guest or no guest. I had Matriciana on. I didn't know she was part of the CIA. I learned that about 2 weeks ago. I had her on like a couple years ago. I didn't know she was a member of the Council of National Policy. Surprise me on that one. So I just, you know, and I get started on my dialogue, and I just don't stop. So I don't know. And when I got people on chat room, you've got Calvinists and Preterists that come in there to hamper you, to go in and try to divide people up. And I can pick them up in a second. I can see them coming on. And at one time when I first started my broadcasting, I didn't have a whole lot of patience with that. Because I don't mind people disagreeing. That's not a problem. But I know when they're there to cause division and to attack others. And, boy, I ain't going to let that happen on my chat rooms. You know, disagreements is okay, fine. It's great because we learn from disagreements. And I don't agree with that. Okay, why? Well, this isn't. I said, oh, that's a good point. Or, well, have you considered this? Not a problem there. But you can always tell when they come in. It's how Satan does it. You make friends. They find someone they can attach themselves to. It's very clever how they do it. And they'll agree with you. Oh, you're doing great today. Oh, this is wonderful. Bible study, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, sure. And I'm waiting for the fall of the shoe to drop, and it does. And they'll say, well, I don't agree with that. And they'll think it got you, and then they'll flip on you. That's how it works. Or they'll attach themselves to a couple of people they've working on. They'll find something agreeable that they're common with. They're tricky. COINTELPRO, Jesuits, Calvinists. you can fit them. And that's why they work. They're trained. That's how I can identify them, because I know how they're trained. So you know the techniques. So the chat room doesn't always work. But anyway. Well, family, we come to the end of the program. And I appreciate y'all coming by. We had a nice crowd tonight. I appreciate y'all dropping by. I want to thank John Kirkler for playing our broadcast up in highpointradio.net, www.highpointradio.net, John Kirkler. His email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. And he's striking out to increase his listening audience fully. And so all y'all up there in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and New York, give John a hand there. Also out in the Blue Raven Network, KBLU Radio, plays our broadcast as well. Thomas there, so I appreciate that. And my website is watchmanforjesus.com. And invite people to go to my archives. You can copy, paste, download. I don't care what you do, as long as you get it out. If you agree with it, of course. And I have some studies I put there. One of them only lasts a while, about 200 pages, of the milestones. And the suicide conspiracy, I'll keep you busy for a while. But anyway, and tonight I appreciate y'all dropping by on this Thursday. Then we got more fake snow coming. Or whatever it is. You try to tell people around here that that's fake snow, they'll look at you like you're crazy. But then they say, boy, snow's funny today. I said, yeah, it's funny, all right. Called sodium polyacrylate. And by George, I think I got it. In any case, things are going along. Study your Bible. Get close. Pray. Breaking generational curses, getting out of the Freemasonry, taking Jesus Christ as Savior, renouncing that blood oath you took. You're not obliged to that oath once you confess it to Jesus. He'll forgive you of it. And you're not bound by any oath to tell a lie. We're bound by God, but in fact, we're born, period. Because this is God's earth. Our bodies are not even our own. Ours is a temple of the Lord. He resides inside you. Can't get no closer than that. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, we appreciate this opportunity you've given us through all these situations and in the past, Lord, that you've given us a network. In your own way. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word, the King James Bible. Lord, we thank you for the prayers you have answered. And Father, we call for more. We know we're good for your promises, but thy will be done. We pray, Father, you'll cover us with the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus. That, Lord, these times are coming of supernatural activity. And, Father, you help us fight it. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, y'all have any questions about all this or things you want to bring up about this, let me know. And I'll answer them if I can. If not, I'll find the answer one way or the other. Appreciate y'all coming by. And if y'all have any suggestions about the program, let me know. Anything you want done better or more of or less of or whatever, I'm all ears. So y'all have a good night. And I will be covering about Valentine's Day and about Easter. I got to cover them. you know, and for what they really are. You got to know. So ignorance is not of the law. I believe I said that right. But you got to know what we're dealing with. And there's preachers out there and truth tellers ain't telling the truth. Or if they're deceived, they're responsible for knowing the truth. No matter what they think, it's what the truth is. That's what's important. Spiritual warfare, dealing with the dark forces, is what's going on. Y'all have a good night. And this is Watchful for Jesus, signing off.
Guilt and my confusion disappear in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night. God bless. It's Watchman for Chronicles signing off. Watchman for Jesus signing off. Have a good night.